Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com.
You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It is already hump day this week. That's right, we're moving right along. And we've got plenty to get to, including, it's very exciting, being just one day out from the NFL opener. Cowboys taking on the Buccaneers. Football is happening everywhere. Football will continue in college. Memphis got a Tom Bowen revenge game coming up. They'll be hitting the road as well. Plenty of college football still to talk about as well. My homies here, John Martin, Brad Carson, join me. Can you guys feel the buzz? The NFL
yes.
is back. I do. Even with my Bears facing what is certainly defeat in week one against the Rams, best defense in football last year, I'm still very excited about what the future holds.
That's great. Hope
especially
springs
for the
eternal.
Tennessee Titans.
Keep that same energy. You know what I mean? Mm. Just keep that same. I'm not going to sit up here and pretend like I'm excited about what the Raiders are going to do this year. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be disingenuous with the listeners. They deserve better than that. And they deserve better from you, too.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't even say the Bears. Said the Titans and the NFL season.
Yeah. it is nice to have NFL action, though. Back again.
Thank you, Lord.
One day away from the kickoff of NFL season, Cowboys Bucks, which you can hear right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Mark Giannotto is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about Memphis football, about Seth Hannigan, about Grant Gunnell, and just the future of this team, this year, and everything that he observed and took away from that first win from the University of Memphis this season. So we'll get into all that with Mark Giannotto. Talk a little Big 12 with him at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Jason Fitz is going to hop on. We'll get into college football with him. Alabama, can anybody stop the Crimson Tide? Probably not, but we will ask Fitz to confirm that at 1:25. Also, get into some NFL with him. Saw a tweet today comparing a University of Memphis basketball player to a mix of LeBron James and Luka Doncic. That's yes.
Oh, wow.
That is what that
They've
is
got
what
that over there.
I read, and I read it from somebody that we trust, right? Somebody that, by the way, like typically is right about things like this. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show, which Memphis basketball player got compared to a cross between LeBron James and Luka Doncic. I mean, that is a, you know, once upon a time I covered recruiting daily, and I remember when Trayson Burrell committed to Memphis, who ended up being a pretty good player. You know, he was a nice player. But he got a comparison from his junior college coach, a cross of Malik Sealy and Latrell Sprewell.
Dang.
Yeah. It was just a very random combination of player. You know, I was like, that's got to be the most random comparison I've ever heard.
Yeah, Latrell, because he, you know.
I mean, nobody compares players to Latrell Sprewell.
That he was, you know, kind of short-tempered.
Larry Brown actually brought up Latrell, didn't he? Who is it that Larry brought up on y'all's interview with Larry Brown recently?
No, Sean Kemp.
It was Kemp.
Yeah, Sean Kemp.
You don't hear Kemp as much either.
No, but you do not. No, and look, I appreciate an old reference. I truly do. But like Latrell, Malik Sealy, no longer with us.
No.
Oh, that's right.
And
nice.
And Latrell Sprewell, like, was a good player, but he was never like a top of the league type yeah. player. You know, he was a fine two guard, three man, whatever. Like, he was athletic. I remember that. He had his own. I remember the Sprewells had like the. He did have a shoe. I don't remember what brand, but he had like the rims on the shoe.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Never got those.
That's that to me.
Spree was good though.
Yeah, he was a good player. How many All-Star games he made?
He's good.
Let's see. I'll look it up.
I'd be guessing.
Four.
Okay.
So he's, I mean,
same as Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, a good player. You know? Just not one like typically, like you don't see like these kids get compared to Latrell Sprewell in 2021. You know, it's just a random It's just a random guy. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We'll get into who was compared to LeBron James and Luka a little bit later.
Gotta be a short list
in the show. But in honor of the NFL season being just 36 hours away, less than. I'm not. You have to check me on my math. We thought it would be good to just kind of go through some of our thoughts, our predictions, and picks for this season. Now tomorrow, we're gonna roll out the debut of Patty's picks. That's
I can't wait to keep record of these.
And we're still sort of going through how many games is going to be because you know one of the things that I pride myself on is I'm not going to give you a pick that I don't go with, right? I'm not going to give you a pick that I don't put in. And some weeks, I may only put in five. So we're sort of trying to figure out exactly how many it's going to be. But that will happen tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Excited about that.
But before the season does get underway, we wanted to give you some picks here, some picks and predictions on this NFL season. We've got a few categories here. Let's just begin with the NFC Championship game. Who will be in the NFC title game? I don't think this is very difficult to figure out. I think it's pretty simple. I think it's going to be the Bucks and it's going to be the Packers once again.
I'll go Bucks, but I'm going to take, I suppose, would be a dark horse. I don't think so, though. I'm going to take the Rams.
Okay.
Matthew Stafford sort of completing what had already been a solid team, number one, like we said, in yards allowed on defense. Last year, they're all in. Let's face it. You go all in when you trade Goff for Stafford, do what they did. That defense has got all the stars you need.
Yep.
I think it truly is. This is a season for the Rams to actually get to the Super Bowl, John.
I think you're right. I think
hard to repeat.
I'll be honest.
I know a lot of people like Tampa Bay. Last time we repeated, what, 03, 04, Pats? Yep. It's been a while.
The Rams are a smart pick. But I'll tell you what worries me about the Rams.
Run game.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And in the playoffs, as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers showed, you have to have that.
I just think between Sony Michel and Daryl Henderson, they'll find a way to get it done. Again, you go out and sign something. Go get Latavius Murray. He's available. You can shore that up. I don't think Cam Akers' injury is going to necessarily be the difference for that. Though I love me some Cam Akers and thought he was in for a breakout season. Obviously gone for the year, preseason injury. I still think they're going to be able to get it done. Stafford's going to be good. Hell, Stafford's been good without a run game his whole career.
Yep.
For the most part. He's going to be fine. They'll have enough semblance of a run game to get at least to the championship game. I like them as a Super Bowl
pick. I've got a rematch. You've got Bucks and Rams in the NFC Championship. It's going to be one of those two, I have no doubt. Moving on to the AFC Championship game, I am going to stick once again with a rematch. It is going to be Chiefs-Bills.
Oh, you're boring.
Again in the AFC Championship game. I think the Ravens will be a solid regular season team like they always are. I just don't think they have the receiving talent, ultimately, to get there. And the Tennessee Titans, I just am not sold on that defense.
Man.
I got to see it. Got to see it before I pick the Titans. Chiefs-Bills, it will be once again in the AFC Championship game.
I'll go with you on one again. Kansas City. I can't rule them out. They've invested in that offensive line. It will go from weakness to one of the team's strengths. They're going to be back. As long as you got Tyreek, that offense is going to be dynamic. Defense should be good enough to get back certainly to an AFC Championship game. It's the Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
You're pandering.
No, I'm not.
Yes.
You're pandering. No, I'm not.
I think you're right.
I've said it all preseason, John, and I know we can throw out the entire preseason. Again, if you did that, then Mac Jones wouldn't be the starter in New England. Back to the point on the Titans. Last year, they were awful on defense, 28th in the league on defense. You know who was 16th last year?
Who?
The Kansas City Chiefs, and they still made it Super Bowl. What have I said?
My home.
What have I said about the Titans? The Titans are going to have one of the best offenses in football. Yeah. I guarantee
it. Not according to Dan Orlovsky.
I guarantee it. I don't understand where he's coming from, but I bet you everybody else thinks they will. Here's the deal. All the Titans have said, I've said this the entire time, not be top 10, not be top 5 in defense. Get into the top half. Kansas City showed you can do that. Be top half. Be competent. Get off the field on third downs and give the ball to that offense, which is going to be one of the best in the league. Could have 2,000-yard receivers and a 1,500-yard rusher like ESPN predicted the other day. Titans are going to be in the AFC Championship game. I'm almost willing to guarantee it, John, to lock it up.
You cannot guarantee that.
I'm almost willing to do it.
You cannot.
Let me tell you this,
too. You're setting these poor people up for incredible disappointment.
There is two.
They're over under win total
right now.
Nine.
The expectations, John. Look at the division they're playing in.
It's not that good.
They could sweep the damn thing. You're saying the Colts might take one of them.
I'm
Who
saying
else are they losing to in that division?
If the Titans were a lot, their over under win total would be a lot more than nine.
It's all based on a defense that was awful. And what have they done? Gone out and invested in it. And you have Vrabel, who can't have an excuse to have another bad defense. That's what you are. I guarantee you it will be better and hopefully good enough to not be the Achilles heel that keeps them from making a deep run. Dude, the Titans are ready. They've just got to stay, keep that offense healthy. That defense going to be good enough.
Okay, well, there you have it. I got a rematch in both, and Jason has the Tennessee Titans somehow, some way overcoming all of their issues defensively and getting to the AFC Championship game. They went all out. You did not even mention the Ravens. You just totally glossed over them.
Ravens, it's the same story. Passing game, you know. When's that gotten them through and to what they want to do? It hasn't yet with Lamar Jackson. I still got to see it. I believe more in the Titans' improvement on defense, and again, going from 28 to 16, 15-ish, than I do in Lamar Jackson in that passing game getting them over the top.
Okay, moving on to the MVP pick. Now, we've talked a little bit about this already. I actually am almost willing to guarantee this. I'm almost willing to guarantee that Josh Allen is going to be the MVP. In fact, how about this? Josh Allen is getting more bets to win the 2021 NFL MVP than the favorites, Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers.
Because he's the better value.
Yes, that and also NFL executives agree with me. In that ESPN poll, they agree that Josh Allen is indeed going to be the 2021 MVP. Why him over Patrick Mahomes? Why him over, you know, others, Aaron Rodgers? I think it comes down to a few things. One is they have a very weak running game, and they know they're going to have to throw the ball quite a bit. So the volume is going to be there for Josh Allen. He's got Stephon Diggs. He's got Cole Beasley, if he can stay healthy because of COVID, and some other really talented wide receivers. We saw what he did last year. Of their 17 regular season games, only five of them are against teams that finished in the top 10 against the pass last year. And conversely, they have eight games this season against teams that finish in the bottom 10 in passing yards allowed. So I think the opportunities are going to be there schedule-wise. I think the volume is going to be there. I think the wins are going to be there. When you combine all those three things, Josh Allen will be your 2021 NFL MVP. We haven't even mentioned he averages eight rushing touchdowns a year. He's going to do that. His yardage probably will come down because he's getting better as a thrower. But I just think he's going to have the ball in his hands way too much to not be the MVP.
This is what I worry about for Josh Allen is injury. The usage rate will be so high for one of the reasons you just stated, because they literally have no running game between Singletary and Moss. You're asking Josh Allen to be that run threat. And just where has that worked? We've seen it with Cam Newton and him get banged up when he's been that guy to have to do both, to pass and to run. And I just feel like you are a Josh Allen severe ankle injury away from that entire thing crumbling.
No,
now, you could say that about most NFL teams.
Yes, of course.
But when you don't have a run game, which you'll give me on the Buffalo Bills, to that, there is so much pressure on him to do it every single play. And last year, he held up. That's my fear for them, is with
he's
the expectations.
A big boy.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I realize that. But John, so was Cam Newton.
Right.
We've seen big quarterbacks, they get beat up over time. And I just think the Bills, without that real runner back there.
Yeah.
And look, I think Moss is going to end up being the guy that emerges and being halfway decent.
Yeah.
But I worry about injury for Josh Allen, both with the MVP thing and with them making a deep run. That's my issue with that. I'm not going to try to overthink this. The MVP is going to be Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is going to bounce back here from the ankle injury. Again, you've taken an area position group that was one of your worst last season, especially there at the end of the year when you're all banged up on offensive line. You've gone out, invested in it, made it one of your strengths. He's going to be protected. All of the weapons are still there. I think they'll take a little bit more pressure off of him with Clyde Edwards-Helaire having a better season now, going in terms of more responsibility.
Yeah.
Look, it's got to be – I can't have Josh Allen here because, quite frankly, I think it's got to come from one of your top four teams. typically, and I don't have the Bills as one of my top four.
Well, that's because you're a hater.
I don't think you overthink this. No, that
people, they are a top four team.
People would say that about you and the Tennessee Titans.
They are a top four team.
I'm not going to overthink this. It's going to be Patrick Mahomes going to go get it. What will this be? Will this be three or two?
I think it's two.
This will be two for him.
They're a top four team, though. The Bills were top four team last year.
Yeah, that's not happening again this year.
What changed?
The Tennessee Titans.
Oh, stop.
They got better. And the pressure.
Marginally.
The pressure. But where did the Bills get better?
It's all still on Josh Allen, bro. And he is going
to
get better.
And we get it. You're bullish on them, but that doesn't. You don't have to dog out the Titans to be bullish on the Bills.
No, I just think the Bills are better.
We can be high on both.
I just think the Bills are better. But you know what? That's why they play the games. That is why they play the games. Off with the Rookie of the Year. This is actually an intriguing award this year because there's so many rookies in this league that are going to have major opportunities, especially at the quarterback position. Look, I think it comes down to two, maybe three guys. Because Justin Fields, it's going to take some time for him to get in. He will get in, but we looked at that schedule. You're going to start the season 2-2. And, I mean, maybe they could go with Justin Fields before then. I have a hard time seeing it. And I think Trey Lance, that could end up being a little bit later in the year as well because they're going to win so many games, right? And you don't want to upset the apple cart if Jimmy G is the guy.
They need to switch it all, but go
right.
ahead.
So I think it comes down to three guys. I think it comes down to Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, and Najee Harris. Najee Harris, because he's going to be the guy. Like, he's going to be the main running back there in Pittsburgh. And, you know, I think they're going to put him to the test. I think they're going to give him a lot of volume and let him prove himself. But it's a quarterback's award, like most things. And I think the answer is going to be Mac Jones. And I think the answer is Mac Jones because he's got a better defense than Trevor Lawrence.
Uh-huh.
He's got a better offensive line than Trevor Lawrence.
They're going to win more games.
And they're going to win more games. Exactly. I mean, it really comes down to that. Trevor Lawrence is probably going to have better sheer numbers in terms of yardage because I think they're going to be down a lot and they're going to ask him to do that.
Yes.
But I think Mac Jones is going to be the more efficient player. I think he's going to have a pretty good year. If he kind of does what Dak did in 2016, you know, 23, 25 touchdowns, you know, 7-8 picks, 9-10 wins, that's going to be enough to get it done. So I'm rolling with Mac Jones. I would have taken Trevor before they ended up going with Mac there in New England, of course. But
right.
I think with Mac at the helm now, you got to go with him.
It's New England and Mac Jones now being the unthreatened starter, right? I mean, that you've handed it over to him. You've jettisoned Cam Newton.
Yep.
It's his. And to your point, we're going to agree on this one for a change. Yes, New England's got just about everything. Those receivers, Aguilar,
right.
Jacoby, not so, but they've got the tight ends,
yep.
Janu, and who's my other, Hunter Henry.
And then they went out James White.
And they've got a decent running game that's going to be enough there. That defense, remember, they had a ton of opt-outs, too, last year, COVID.
That's right.
Now, most of those guys will be back.
That's right.
That's
going to
be a team that wins
defense.
More games.
Yep.
And because of that, you're going to say, wow, Mac Jones, not going to get pulled.
Yep.
Even if he has a down game, they're going to go with him. So I like Mac Jones for that. I really do. They're going to win more games and be a significant, you know.
They could be a playoff team.
They've got a chance to be the second place team in the AFC East, although right now I'm still reserving that for the Dolphins.
Yeah. Okay, so we got a team that will surprise. I am going to actually – I think my pick will surprise you. But I am going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles are getting enough respect across the NFL.
You're saying
the Philadelphia Eagles.
Straight face.
Yes. I think the Philadelphia
Please
Eagles.
Please continue.
I think the Philadelphia Eagles have a chance to win 9 games. They have, right now their total is at 6.5. But I think with Jalen Hurts coming back for a full year, he was awesome last year. And I think with what he brings you as a dual threat, if he stays healthy, their defense has Darius Slay. Their D-line is solid.
I like game, Will.
They're in a crappy division. You know, you got an opportunity to sweep the Giants.
Dude.
You know? I mean, it's not a good division.
Washington's defense is real.
It is very real, but we don't know about the offense yet. We'll have to see it. I mean, I think it's going to be pretty good.
It'll be better than it was last year.
But you can certainly pick off the Cowboys once, right, in Philly. I can see it. I'm not saying they're going to win 11, 12 games.
No, they're not going to make the playoffs, dude.
But I could see them winning 9. I think with Jalen Hurts, you got an offensive line that's finally healthy now. I think you got Doug Peterson out, who was basically mailing it in after that Super Bowl. I think they have a chance to be better than people think. I got the Eagles as a surprise team in that they're more competitive in that division than people give them credit for. 8-9 wins feels very doable for the Eagles.
Wow. Okay,
I'm high on Jalen Hurts.
Are you high? All right. I don't know what the hell it is. I'm out of Philly. That Philly good. I don't know what the hell he's on. And you're right. You surprised the heck out of me with that one. Shock and all. There's no question about it. This one's much I not as controversial, but maybe unexpected. I'm going to go with a team I love to hate and one that usually always folds after maybe sometimes a nice start. The Minnesota Vikings. And the key reason for me is that damn Dalvin Cook. The key reason for me is that now he's got to stay healthy. But you're going to have him. He's going to be playing in a bubble. But Cousins is going to be out there. Typically puts up the numbers that you've got Jefferson now at receiver.
Yep.
Sort of has filled in that Diggs hole.
Yes, he has.
I wouldn't say completely filled it up. Look what Diggs did for Josh Allen.
Right.
But he's going to be a guy that's ready to take over. Thielen's that secondary threat now, which is what he needs to be.
Yep.
Quite frankly.
Well,
and I just think
he needs you to tell him what he needs to be.
They're going to break through. As much as I'd love to tell you, it'll be one of our teams or. I don't know what the hell John's smoking on Philly. It's going to probably be the boring Minnesota Vikings who everybody just looks at, okay, before the year. Oh, yeah, they'll be okay.
Yeah.
No, I think they got a chance to make a deep push.
And I think their defense actually is really good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it goes without saying. They've been good for some years.
Yeah,
now.
That's actually a good pick.
They're overdue, quite frankly,
to nobody really ever thinks about the Minnesota Vikings. They're always 8-8, 7-9. Like, they never really push.
Yeah.
I actually could see that. I think you're exactly right. I mean, their offense is really good.
It's my surprise team. Nobody's talking about them, and I think they'll be fine. So long as Cousins stays out of,
That's right.
Unvaccinated Cousins stays out of troubles and can stay on the field.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Team that will disappoint.
I got one here.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do
it. I already knew you were going to put
them. I'm not going to do it because I don't think they're going to disappoint. Maybe you because you have them in the championship
game. What did you tell me? 9 wins is the over? You feel like that's low for them?
I do think it's low for
them.
Thank you. That's why I don't have them in this category. I have the Los Angeles Chargers in this category.
I thought about them.
I think the hype train for the Chargers has gone off the rails completely.
Broncos will be better
in my opinion. A lot of times you see rookie quarterbacks who come in, whether it's Dak, whether it's Baker Mayfield, long list. They kind of come back down to earth in year two, right? There's usually a sophomore slump. Defense is I think Justin Herbert's a really good quarterback, and I wish we had him. But I think to expect him to come in and recreate everything he did in year one as a rookie when teams didn't have as much tape on him, I think that's a lot to ask. Also don't think his weapons are great. Keenan Allen's going to be 28, 29 years old, and he's going to do what he does. But beyond that, you're going to be throwing a lot of dump-offs to Austin Eckler. Mike Williams never stays healthy. The offensive line wasn't great last year. And then the defense. They were very mediocre defense. Allowed 29 touchdown passes last year, just 12 picks.
They got Bosa.
Only had 27 sacks last year. That's a bottom 10 number. They did draft the second round, Nickelback and Asante Samuel, who it will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just going to be 7-10, 8-9. Like, they're not going to take this big leap that everybody expects them to take. So I've got the Chargers as a disappointing team in 2021.
I like my pick better because I think the expectations are higher and they've more so been crowned, certainly more so than the Chargers have. This is the team. Let down city. It's what they do. Cleveland Browns.
Bro.
And Baker Mayfield. Man, all I have heard all offseason is about how much talent is on that Cleveland team and how this is the year to break through. Man, don't you know what them folks are going to do? They're going to finish third in the division. Behind Baltimore and Pittsburgh, just like where they belong.
Well, then,
yeah, good for you finishing ahead of Cincinnati.
Stefanski, he's gone.
Because I tell you this right now, man, Baker Mayfield ain't ready for this. When's he operated well? I will give him that. He's playing for his contract,
right.
And he's got to be good. But it's never been good when you got Odell in there, and he's trying to satisfy him and Landry and the run game and all that. I will say this. The thing Cleveland seemed to figure out last year, once Odell was gone and hurt, was it should be a run-first team that takes the pressure off of Baker Mayfield. But I got a feeling you're going to see a Baker Mayfield out there to prove something to somebody, particularly that organization that I'm your guy, that's going to be overdoing it. Odell got to get fed, everybody else, and they are going to waste a good roster in this point. Again, they're in a good division, and I think folks are writing off the Steelers too soon. That's a tough division, and it's because of where everyone has put Cleveland before we've even started this thing.
Well, they are.
They're the ones that are going to disappoint the most.
I mean, I of course, the Browns cross my mind because of the reasons that you – like, it's Cleveland.
They have been crowned.
It's Cleveland.
The third best team in the AFC? No.
I think the reason why – I didn't go with them is because their floor is too high. Their defense is too good. Their running game is too good. They're getting Odell Beckham. They may not ultimately achieve what people think they will achieve, but they will be a playoff team.
Well,
so can you really
start
0-1
at them,
can
Chiefs.
You really say a playoff team is a disappointment?
Oh, if they make the playoffs as the third team out of that division, which I believe they will be, it won't be a deep run. They'll have to go against one of the big dogs there early, and it'll be a short run. Like I said, folks are talking about them like they're AFC championship game caliber. They are not, John Martin. They've still got a ton to prove to me. Baker Mayfield being at the top of the list.
Well, we certainly hope he does it this year. And then the first quarterback to be benched, who will it be? This is actually a very interesting conversation because there will be many quarterbacks over the course of the season who are benched. But I know this is going to make you very upset, so trigger warning incoming.
Well, this one's easy.
It's Jameis, man.
You was a damn fool.
Jameis is going to be benched.
This man said Jameis Winston going to be benched and said Philly going to be the surprise team of the year.
Let me tell you what.
You came in here drunk today.
Let me tell you why Jameis is going to be benched before, for example, Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton has the Lions and the Bengals in the first four games of the season. He's got two guaranteed wins on his schedule. No questions asked.
So they didn't put Taysom Hill in there?
Yes, because look who the Saints have. They open the season with the Packers. Then they're on the road at Carolina, who is just they're going to be a decent team capable of beating you at their place. Then they go to New England. They go to Gillette. And you got the Giants at home on October the 3rd. Then you're at Washington. Then you're at Seattle. Jameis Winston is not going to be the quarterback by week 7.
Man, I think he's going to surprise you.
He's going to be one surprise player.
Yes,
He's going to be like a comeback player of the year.
They're going to be 2-5. And if they're 2-5, even 3-4, they're going to be hearing whispers. So I think Jameis' schedule really – his receivers are not good. Like, everybody's trying to sell me on this Callaway kid.
Yeah, who he likes.
That man about to get taken out the game playing so fast, it'll make your head spin.
I can't ever think of dude's first name. It's like Traquarius Smith.
Traquan, yeah.
T. Smith.
I mean, his receivers are absolute – I mean, I don't want to say
right
garbage.
There. You're right there.
But they're mediocre. And
that man will be throwing to Alvin Kamara.
Look, Jair Alexander is going to hold that dude to one reception in the first
game.
You
are so wrong on Jameis, man. What did he do to you?
Nothing.
He's corrected his life. He's on a good path now.
I hope
you got to take
out for him.
He ain't stealing crab legs no more.
But
take it easy.
Andy Dalton's not losing his job because they're going to have two guaranteed wins in the first month of the season, and the Saints don't.
You're overthinking this one. It's Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Because
what week?
You can look at that first part of the schedule, John. John, they could drop three of those games because it's the Chicago Bears.
They're not losing to the Bengals or the Lions.
And it's Andy Dalton who doesn't take any chances. You still got to score points. Realize it's a decent defense. It's not what it used to be,
though. Yeah, David, the great David Montgomery Sanders.
The part that you left out is that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, their future is tied to Justin Fields. And at some point, they got to get – to save their jobs, they got to get the future out there. These dudes got Nick Foles still on the roster, like that Ryan Pace, as many quarterback mistakes as he's made on this thing, trading up to get Mitch Trubisky, you blow it with him. Like Fields is their future, and they have to get the future out there as quickly as possible to save their gig. So it's going to be Andy Dalton in terms of first quarterback bench. And you got to lighten up on Jameis Winston, bro. I'm starting to think you got – it's just like the Titans.
Sean Payton is not going
to
gonna, like
– no. That year under Sean Payton and watching, that has helped Jameis mature. I guarantee you the LASIK ain't going to hurt nothing either. The dude's going to be an
improved
quarterback.
Man, but he's going to throw 14 picks.
And you're more worried about – are you more worried about the weapons or his decision-making? I can't tell. Because
you come up with
a new thing every time.
No, because you could throw the ball up to Mike Evans and he just go get it, right?
Jameis,
I mean, this is the same quarterback who threw 30 interceptions 3 years ago,
and
right?
5,000 yards that year with 30 touchdowns.
But
we leave all
30 pick.
Again, he couldn't see.
Sean Payton.
The dude should have been wearing glasses. Stories have been written about
Sean
this.
Sean Payton is
and
not
he still
about
threw for 5,
to stomach three picks
he
a
can,
game.
He can actually see the receivers now.
Taysom Hill
he's going to throw
get a
fewer
shot
than 30 picks, I guarantee it, John.
He will be – I'm not saying he's going to be bad, but he will be bad enough for Sean Payton.
Taysom is not the answer there. That's the thing for them. He is not the long-term answer, and you have to give Jameis Winston as long a look as you can. You got a great deal on him right now. Behooves you to give him as long a look as possible. Little up, little down. You let him play through that and see if he's really learned for
well,
the year.
We'll just keep this – everything is on record. That's the beauty of it.
Love to hate on Jameis and them damn Titans.
We can put this on Twitter if you want, just for posterity's
sake. Throw it out there.
I mean, I think you're going to have Buffalo Bills Mafia on your ass.
I ain't worried about Buffalo Bills Mafia.
They're going to put
they
you through a table.
They better worry about Josh Allen's health.
They're going to put you through
everything
a fiery
they
table.
Ask of that man.
Are you prepared for that?
He's basically playing two. He's a two-way player out there. Put him on defense, too. Got to save the Bills, Josh Allen. Going to do it all. Win MVP.
Hey, they're going to have Julio on in the secondary. Well, y'all talking up that defense, man. Anyway, we're one day away from NFL action. As you can tell, we cannot wait. Mark Giannotta is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Memphis football's game one victory. Seth Hennigan, the future of this season. How good can they be? How far can they go? All that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Every Wednesday around this time, we talk to great Mark Giannotta. Read him at commercialfield.com. Catch him on Giannotta and Jeffrey every afternoon. He joins us. Now, let's just start with Memphis football.
Okay.
Because you were out there. It was how'd it feel? How was the feel of it? Because it was like the first time we've had like that many people in the stands. How'd it feel?
Mm-hmm. It was interesting. So I was at the tailgate for a while. Like I got there for the Tiger Walk. And then fortunately, I had to leave. My wife got a flat tire and I had to go help her. But the tailgate I experienced,
yeah.
Then I was able to get back in time for the start of the game.
Chivalry not dead.
Well, when you have
don't have like roadside assistance, bro.
Come on,
listen.
You make a little too much money. I said that.
I said this to Jeffrey. I said, what is it with the fact that I'm expected to be like a car expert just because I'm a husband and a man.
Man's
like,
man.
You know, I have a feminism and all this stuff. Like I have a very independent wife, but when it comes to like. You know, fixing stuff at the house or maintaining the car, like I have to be that guy.
I think when you
at
rock,
all times.
When you rock a beard like that strong
that's
as
right.
yours,
you should be able to change a tire.
You need to be able to fix some things.
Well, it's funny. So she has a new car, and her car did not have a spare tire. I didn't even get the chance to change the tire. It had like that. There's like the stuff you pump into it, like the never flat stuff that like you know gets you by for a little bit. So I didn't even get the chance to change a tire. I was like ready. I've changed one in my life, just one. But I was like ready to. Even though I was a little nervous that I was going to miss the start of the game, but I was actually looking forward to
get it done.
Yeah, to showing my manly side. But like, I still think it's like ridiculous that like if it had been something other than a flat tire, if it had been like some, you know, I still would have had to come out there, even though I would have no like if something was wrong with the engine, I have no clue what to do.
It is oppressive. You're right. just what we're expected to know.
Like, when her dad is like in my father-in-law is like was in construction, so like she grew up with like a dad who could do everything,
right?
And I can do very little. You know, I can do very little, but she expects me
to be like her dad.
And to give it a shot.
Well, the good news is my daughter, it will be the opposite. Like, whoever my daughter ends up marrying down the line, like, anything will
like, unfortunately, her. I grew up in a household where when things needed to be done, we paid someone else to do them. Mm-hmm. Like, and unfortunately, that is the type of household I grew up in.
Do you think Seth Hennigan can change a tire?
Do you really not think you can change a tire?
Do you teach kids
He's
that
18.
Anymore?
He's 18. Yeah, I feel like I didn't have to
he's
learn until the first flat tire I got. Which, mm-hmm. like, if he's gotten a flat
Seth
tire,
Hennigan
maybe
can change it.
His dad
he had
was
a pickup
him,
truck from Texas.
He definitely probably had a pickup truck.
He can change a damn tire.
I hope so.
Like, he ain't no city slicker. Isn't he from, like, a small Texas town?
Denton, Texas. Yes, I think it's
can change a tire.
It's a suburb. It's like a
suburb. He can build a car, I'm sure.
He was working on offenses, John.
Yeah.
One
of the things about him that I find very interesting is it's not just typically with like when a young player is playing really early at quarterback, a lot of times it's just because like they're a better player, like they got a better arm, they're more talented than the more veteran guy. One of the things I find interesting about Seth Hennigan is when they talk about him, it's not just that they feel like he has a good arm and he's talented. It sounds like even though he was a true freshman, he knew the playbook better than all the other quarterback options. Mm-hmm. And that's probably from being a coach's son or whatever.
Exactly.
But you saw it out there when he played in that first game because ultimately, like, the throws he made were fine. Like, you know, I thought, you know, they were jump balls a lot of times, but they were where I think they wanted him throwing the ball. Like, it was back shoulder throw. Like, he was not throwing the ball to the wrong place, even though it wasn't like a – you know, throwing it over, you know, leading the guy into the catch. But the thing I found most impressive about him the entire game was he was, like, making checks at the line. When he was evading the rush, he was, like, running but not, you know, he wasn't always just running and trying to get as many yards as he could. He was looking downfield trying to make a pass. Yeah. He was, like, sliding well. Like, he did all those little intricate things that are – probably a reflection on the fact that he knew the playbook better than all the other options. But that was the part when you watched it that looked really good. Now, the question I have is, does all that stuff translate from going against FCS team to playing against...
Same question here,
To playing against, first Arkansas State, who's probably, you know, an all-right Sun Belt team. Then you're going to go to playing Mississippi State, who's probably like an average SEC team, maybe slightly below average SEC team. And then it looks like to me, UTSA is like a good mid-major team that you're going to play. And like, how does it translate to those three games? And so I was impressed, but I also am not ready to, like, the way I phrased it on our show is nothing that happened in that game the other night made me feel worse about what Memphis can do this year. None of it also necessarily made me feel better. Like, the floor and the ceiling to me are the same. Like, if he's really good, just like if Grant Gunnell was really good, I could see them being the second best team in the AAC and playing Cincinnati in the AAC championship game. If he goes through his ups and downs, I could also see like a 7-6, 7-5 season that's, you know, could be possible. And that's sort of where I'm still at.
Like, it's amazing, though, that is the floor for Memphis now, it feels like, right? Like, 6-6 is like, if it just doesn't go well, they'll be 6-6, which, like, once upon a time, I mean, I do think it's worth, like, mentioning this.
Absolutely.
Like, once upon a time, 6-6 was, like, the holy grail for this program.
No, and the thing you have to watch out for with freshmen is, he's going to have two or three stinkers. If they play him the whole year, like, that's just inevitable with a true freshman. I don't know what games it'll be in.
Right. But well, we can probably guess, right?
Well, no, it could be. I could see it though. Sometimes it with true freshmen,
it could be
random
next week, right? It could be
like, you know. And honestly, you hope it's against like Arkansas State or, you know, Temple or something like that, where maybe even if he plays poorly, you can overcome it. If he plays poorly against UCF, they're not going to beat UCF. If he plays poorly against Mississippi State, mm-hmm. they're not going to beat Mississippi State. So that's what I would be just mindful of. One, it was really encouraging first start. It also was against an FCS team, who, by the way, I was with them when they were eating dinner Monday night. The Nickel State team, Nickel State football team, and because they're still in town because of the hurricane,
the Skybox
Ida. Yeah, they were at Skybox, and I was talking to them. And I was talking to several DBs. Like, I was with their group. And they were all impressed by Hennigan. They all came. They were like, yeah, he was pretty good. They also didn't think he was starting. They thought Gunnell,
right, exactly.
They thought Gunnell was starting. But they said they had prepared for both of them. But they, the DBs were impressed. They, you know, they thought he was a pretty good quarterback.
What about that run game? We talked about Hennigan. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that run game, you have more confidence in it holding up against improved competition
well, see,
over these next 3 weeks?
Everyone was talking about Brandon Thomas, and rightfully so. I think when he got in that, out in the open field, he looked better than the other guys
agreed
a year ago did. But I also think the offensive line in that game mashed.
Yes,
like in the, against
can
against
it not be a strength. That's what yeah,
which is,
yeah.
What, which is what you're supposed to have happen, right?
Yes, against, an FCS against team. So yeah. Like, will they? You know, because last year what happened was the beginning of the year the offensive line did pretty well. It was like the last 4 or 5 games last year they couldn't run block anymore. They were decent as a pass rushing or pass blocking unit, but they were terrible run blocking.
Nothing out of the
run. And can they do that again? It's similar to Seth Hennigan. Now they have. You know, none of them are 18 years old. It's new guys, but it's, you know, it's like the TCU transfer, Austin Myers, and Jacob Likes at center, who's been in the program a while, and Matt Dale at right tackle, been in the program a while. You know, there's it's older guys.
Because of that line, I think I believe in that run game more so than Hennigan.
Yeah. And here's the deal. Like, Hennigan's going to need a run game. Like, he
absolutely
can't at this – when you're 18 years old – if you're going to ask him to throw 40 passes a game, that's not going to be a winning formula. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to work. But I really do think there was a lot of encouraging things. And then, you know, I think the key to it all, though, is ultimately the defense. They're the ones that, if you look on paper, they should be good. Like, mm-hmm. ultimately, like they have guys who have played a ton of snaps. Now, the argument could be made, like, they've played a ton of snaps on majority defenses that were, you know, okay, but not great. But I thought they could have played better in that nickel state game.
Well, especially to start the game.
Yeah, well, and they didn't, you know, there was...
They settled in, though, I thought.
They, you know, that quarterback for nickel state was pretty comfortable back there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he's a pretty good player, it sounds like. Sounds like he could get some looks in the NFL as, like, a running back or something mm-hmm. like that. But, you know... One of the issues, at least since I've been covering Memphis football since 2017, one issue that has never really gotten corrected is they don't get pressure on the quarterback with their defensive line. They haven't in the past, and they didn't on Saturday night. And that's one thing I think is important to figure out. Like Adam Fuller that year, the Cotton Bowl, they were able. He had all these exotic blitzes. It felt like,
yes.
And McIntyre, it seemed like at the end of last year, had figured it out. Like, what was the best scheme for this group? And it's not that they played bad the other night, but it wasn't a dominating defensive performance. They played fine, especially after that first drive. But they've got, you know, it's like a bunch of guys who are like 23 years old on that defense. I mean, it's an old defense. So, I suspect they will be a pretty good defense.
I think so.
And I think Memphis is going to be in the mix. Nothing changed in terms of my assessment. That, you know, do I think this is a year where they go to the AAC championship game? Probably not. I would not predict that. I don't think it's out of the cards, but I would not predict that. But do I think it could be like an 8-4 type year? Yeah, I think that's what, you know. With a true freshman quarterback, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world.
So at this point, do you think we'll just never see Grant Gunnell?
That's interesting. He was full go a week ago, guys.
That's what we were told. Yes.
Well, and then I think I heard on the coach's show, Silverfield said that Seth Hennigan won
we
the job 2
back.
Weeks in,
right?
Which coincides with when Gunnell got hurt. I think it depends on how Hennigan plays the rest of the year. If Hennigan is kind of like up and down and, you know, you're not sure, you know, let's say they go.
Do you think they're putting off surgery?
Yeah, what's he
for
got?
Him because they just, like, they're trying to hedge against Seth Hennigan potentially struggling? Do you think that's what's going on?
I don't think it's them hedging on surgery. I think it might be Gunnell.
He doesn't want to undergo surgery.
Yeah, like, I mean, getting Achilles surgery is a major deal.
Yep.
I mean, I know they haven't reported it's an Achilles, but that's what I've been told
right,
it is.
Right.
And... it's, you know,
no, certainly I'm going to put him out for the season.
It sounds like there is a rehab option out there, my gut tells me, you know, when you're dealing with an Achilles, like, ultimately you can rehab it, but, like, you know, we saw with, like, Kevin Durant when he got hurt, like, you know, when you, you know, there's, it feels like there's a, it feels like it's probably, if you really want to force it, I guess, but you're leaving yourself open to re-injury, it feels like, in that case, you know, ultimately, and in, if you get a re-injury, you're going to have to get the surgery anyways, and we're seeing more and more, you know, it used to be the ACL injuries. It was like, man, he'll never be the same after that. And it feels like we, you know, it still happens, but like we've advanced in terms of the rehab and the recovery and the surgery of torn ACLs. It's not a career-ending injury anymore.
Yep.
And then it felt like for the, you know, Achilles, though, oh, man, that's a career-ending injury. Like, you're never the same after you tear your Achilles. And so, but now with Kevin Durant, there's like a, I think there's a guy in the NFL coming back. He like tore his Achilles in January and he's planning to play to open the season.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, 9 months. I mean,
I agree. But like ultimately, like it's going to be a long recovery, yes. But like an Achilles surgery is not necessarily, you know, maybe we're advancing in terms of Achilles injuries to a point where maybe it is, doesn't have to be like something that, you know, changes your career, so to speak.
Well, Cam Akers had the Achilles, right? And then Carl Lawson, the Jets' D-end, he's out for the year.
Do I think we'll never see Gunnell again? I'd say it depends. If the quarterback job is open going into next year, why would he leave? I mean, like, that's, you know, if Hennigan doesn't play great the whole year and you go into camp and you go, well, yeah, Hennigan started for us last year, but, like, they got Tevin Carter coming in and, you know, like if there's still an open competition, why would you leave at least immediately? I would try to win the job again whenever you're healthy.
I'm asking you to project here a little bit, forecast a little bit. Do you think Seth Hennigan plays well enough though to lock it down? He will have all of the opportunities.
I think I don't think he'll have it locked down completely. There'll be enough of a
window,
you know, like ultimately he's an 18-year-old. Now it can happen. I mean, like my freshman year at Michigan was Chad Henne's freshman year at Michigan. It was a little different situation. Matt Gutierrez, who ended up playing in the NFL for the Patriots, he had been a backup for John Navarre like his whole career. And then as a senior, he was going to be the starter. And then like the week of, before the game, he like sprained his ankle in practice, and so and no one knew about it. Like Michigan kept it quiet, and then all of a sudden Henne started the first game. Like he played, you know, and then by the time Gutierrez was healthy, like a month and a half later, like Henne had played really well, and Henne was the quarterback the rest of the time he was at Michigan. So that, like, it can happen. Like Hennigan, you know, let's say they go out and go 3-1 in non-conference play, and you know, 5-3 in conference play. Like if they go 8-4 or better, then yeah, I think like, you know, you feel comfortable with him, and it's due to the fact that he played well, then yeah, sure. I think it all depends on how well Seth Hennigan plays, and to project at this point after one game that like he's going to have some magical freshman year, I think would be silly. I also think though there's a possibility he could be the guy for the time for a while. I mean, it seems like the coaches seem to think that. And so far, every time he's had a chance to kind of prove himself, whether it was spring practice, the spring game, preseason practice, now this first game, he always seems to do a little bit better than what you were anticipating. That's the sense I've gotten so far from him.
What do you, just your general take on how vague Ryan was with the injuries? You fine with it? Hey, the coaches do this all the time, or is it?
I'm not fine
misleading.
With it. I think he is not the first, nor will he be the last coach who did not tell the whole truth for reasons that he thought were for the best, were best for his team. I think other coaches are better at it than he is. Let's put it that way. I think there was a way to handle that.
Yeah, to say he's full go.
That was probably
pretty
a little maybe.
But he can play.
Yes. Well, and that was
by
the
news is coming out. Not to cut you off, but Grant Gunnell is undergoing surgery, according to looks like his former high school coach.
Okay.
He tweets today, praying for my boy Grant Gunnell, who was slated to lead the Tigers offense, but God had other plans. Surgery Monday morning. I'm assuming maybe that means he already has had it. I'm not sure what the implication is.
Or maybe this coming Monday.
Yeah, surgery Monday morning will be a minor setback for a major comeback.
It's coming one. Yeah. If you just put it out there, yeah.
That seems like to me to be the right, like the smart move when you have something. Like it sounds like there was some sort of tear in his Achilles. And, you know, it wasn't a major tear, it sounds like, which is why they were trying to
walk around the way you can.
Yeah. But
what do you think this means for his show? I mean, this is obviously, you know, I mean, it's kind of a tough deal, tough blow for the show.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you don't have a show about backup quarterbacks. I mean, right?
Just replace him with Seth.
How long's the contract?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm gonna be honest.
I hope there was a clause in there.
I don't think the Grizzlies over there are hurting for money. Like, I feel like they could afford to get Seth Hennigan on there too.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't want to have the backup quarterback be in the face of the show, you know?
Well, they do. It's a show with a long snapper and
But you don't pay the backup quarterback NIL money, bro. Like, that's not what you do.
How much you really think they're paying him that much money?
I don't know, $25. Who knows?
Like, come on, like. Feeding them lunch and giving them a 20 for every show they do.
I
was going to say, you think that Gunnell should just go ahead and transfer because Seth has got it nailed down for the next 4 years.
I actually think he will, but by the time the season is over. Well, that's what I think.
He won't transfer. I could see him transferring the offseason, though, if Seth plays well.
Yeah.
I think what happens is.
And then Tevin will not come.
It happened before. Here's the reality of college football right now. And this was, honestly, this happened with Brady White before the transfer portal was a big thing. Once you pick your guy.
Somebody leave.
Everyone is going to leave. Like, that's what Brady White. It was not just David Moore. It was Brady Davis left in the spring when he realized, I'm not in the mix here.
Holgorsen.
David Moore leaves in fall camp when he realized, I'm not getting this job. Then eventually, Brady McBride, the freshman they brought in from Texas, he left because he's like, man, Brady's going to be here for like 2-3 years. I'm never going to play.
Holgorsen transferred when Riley got the gig, right? I mean, like,
and even Connor Adair then left eventually because he's like, I've been the backup forever here, 100%. And I'm never going to get, like, four different quarterbacks left at once Mike Norvell went with Brady White.
Remains. I don't know why, but he remains.
Yeah, well, and so, like, but I suspect, you know, ultimately.
Y'all sending him off to Georgia Tech. Tevin never going to play.
I mean, I just don't think he should enroll if Seth Hennigan knocks it up.
I think it's the same exact.
He can beat Seth
Hennigan. I think it's the same exact way it is with Gunnell. Maybe it may be better for Tevin Carter in the sense that as long as the job's open, like, he should come.
And isn't Memphis going to tell him it is?
Well, just depends.
I think if they go out and win nine games, I agree with you. I think if they go eight and four
and they finish second in the AAC and Seth, like, looks really
good.
They're
not finishing second because of Cincy and UCF. Like, aren't they a clear cut above everybody else?
Well,
that you put Memphis with SMU, maybe Houston.
SMU, I don't know. SMU looks pretty good. SMU is quietly
got the Mordecai kid in there.
Well, and if you look at their recruiting, of the AAC football teams, they're not doing what Memphis basketball is doing from an NIL perspective in terms of recruiting. But they are the program in the AAC. If you look at the type of recruits they've gotten in the last month or two, they are the AAC football program that appears to be best taking advantage of NIL. Mm. They are getting four-star after four-star into SMU, and then they've got all these transfers they brought in. Like, that program actually, I think, as long as Sonny Dykes is there, I think they're going to be a pretty good like, them and Memphis feel like the face of AAC football for the next few years.
That's all you got.
Yeah.
No, I mean
that's just like you're the.
They're going to be the one other. They're going to be the one other team that feels like it's going to truly be on a level playing.
Like saying like you're the most beautiful woman in the bar. It's
gonna be
the
you're going to be the tallest midget.
We can't say that anymore.
Oh, we can't.
Yeah, you can't use that.
I'm sorry.
Small person.
Yeah, you can't. Come on, man. Did they give you sensitivity training over there?
They do.
That's like a.
They do.
You would you be able to write tallest midget?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one
You're
of those.
You're probably right. I apologize in advance if I offended anyone out there.
No, it's not in advance. You've already done it.
I have nothing against the smaller people. Like, I've
on that point, though, like, do you think that, and we've had this conversation on the show, do you think that when this round of expansion settles down, that there will be another and Memphis gets taken up?
Hope.
Yes. Will there be more conference expansion? Yes. Is it going to be 2 years from now? That's what I'm less sure about, I would say.
Well, Texas and Oklahoma are going to leave, though. They are going to leave.
Oh, no, that's all happened. No, but I mean, there's this talk of the Big 12 is going to expand again. Now, you know, they take
right,
in
to replace
UCF.
Texas and Oklahoma.
Yes. Or if, like, the key to me is you need the Pac-12 or the Big 10 or the ACC or even the SEC, I guess, to decide, you know what, we want to add more. And so then they're going to pluck Big 12 teams, probably. And I think the most likely candidate is the Pac-12 eventually. They're going to, they say they don't want to do it now, but I could see 2 years from now when these TV deals are starting to get negotiated, the playoffs going down.
I was told they wanted to do it this time.
Really?
And the only reason why they didn't is mm-hmm. because, like, this whole president's not wanting to kick others off the island. They didn't want to raid the Big 12 and kill it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're going to let the Big 12 sort of reload or whatever, restock, and then come back.
Yes. And with Memphis, it's so difficult because it's like there's this talk of we deserve it. And I think fans are right that Memphis deserves it. But I just push back on it a little bit in terms of conference realignment has never been about deserves. Mm-hmm. Like, it just hasn't. That's not how the game is played.
Yep.
It's about money. Like, you know, and I know, you know, Jeff has brought up race.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.